I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Word of God, to Luke chapter 1. We are in a series this December called Mary's Christmas, looking at the events of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in a way through the eyes of Mary, how they affected her, how they affect us. So today we are looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Thanks to God for his holy and inerrant word. Let's pray. Father, your word is discerned by the Holy Spirit, and we pray for that Holy Spirit who inspired it now to come and give us understanding of it, Lord, certainly in our minds, but also a deep sense of our own need for that Savior of whom it speaks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage today, two separate yet related plot lines that Luke begins his gospel with have come together. They have merged in this passage that is before us now. In the first part of this chapter, the angel appears to the priest Zechariah in the temple and tells him that he and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby. They have been childless. They're now advanced in years. And the angel tells them they will have a son. Because Zechariah responds with some measure of skepticism to this news, the angel strikes him dumb, removes his ability to speak until after the baby is born. And in fact, Elizabeth, his wife, does conceive a child. And she is 6 months along when Gabriel goes to Mary and announces to Mary that she will conceive a child who will be in the line of David, in fact, the promised and long-awaited Messiah. Elizabeth's earlier, her conception was a miracle. She was well past the age of childbearing, and all miracles are, in fact, miraculous. But some miracles may be more miraculous than others, because whereas Elizabeth and Zechariah were just past the years of childbearing, God granted it to her to conceive and bear a child in the customary way. Mary would conceive a child with no man at all involved, but simply by the all-powerful working of God to bring her baby into existence. So two separate women, two separate plot lines, but in our passage today, they merge as Mary goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth. Why? Why would she rapidly make this journey of what could have been as far as 70 or 80 miles? Why? Well, no doubt it was, in fact, in response to what the angel Gabriel had told her just in the verses before our passage today, that he gave to her as a sign of the truth of his words to her. Remember that he said to her in verse 36, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son," and this is the 6th month with her, 6th month of pregnancy with her, who was formerly called that ugly word barren, now with child. Now, we knew of it, but it was the first Mary heard of it. And after all, it says Elizabeth had kept herself hidden for 5 months. And so no doubt when Mary hears about this, as the angel Gabriel tells her this, she's overjoyed. For all we know, maybe she'd been praying for Elizabeth to be able to have a child for a long time. And so she wants to go see her. And she went, as Luke tells us, with haste, quickly, immediately. She left and hurried to go see Elizabeth because this was important. This was urgent. And it says she traveled to the hill country to a town in Judah. Now, in other words, while Zechariah served as a priest in the temple, which was, of course, in Jerusalem, they did not live in Jerusalem. They lived out from there. They lived out in the hill country, in the countryside, we might say. And unlike Nazareth, and Luke tells us the angel went to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. Nazareth was not a very prominent town, and by Galilee, at least the kind of reader would know the general place. Here, he doesn't even name the town. He just says it's a small town. And Mary lived in Galilee in the north. Elizabeth lived in Judea in the south. And she travels to go see her. Now, in this short passage, there's three people who are involved, three persons. There's Elizabeth herself, and then there's Mary, of course, and then there's John, Elizabeth's baby. We don't know his name yet. It's revealed later after he's born, but we know who he is. We know his name because we have read ahead. So you have a senior citizen, you have a teenager, and you have a womb baby. The three characters in this account, three people involved. And each one communicates something to us in this passage. So first of all, in Elizabeth, we see the prophetic ministry of Elizabeth. We see the prophetic ministry of Elizabeth. When one thinks of prophets, we typically think of speaking, of words, thus says the Lord, and delivering a message. But not all prophecy in the Old Testament was given only in words. Often the message would be given in some symbolic action or maybe through some symbolic object. You might think of Ezekiel, you might think of Jeremiah. Yes, lots of words, but also actions, even objects that communicated something, God's message. And in fact, Elizabeth does bear witness non-verbally. How? She was 6 months pregnant. That's how. The mere fact of her pregnancy, what Gabriel had told Mary in the verses just before this, that pregnancy was a sign to Mary of the truth of the astounding words that Gabriel had spoken to her. And Gabriel mentions your relative Elizabeth is now in her 6th month. Nothing will be impossible with God. And so Mary, as we said, has gone to visit Elizabeth. And sure enough, there she is, pregnant. It's a prophetic witness. It's a sign. The mere fact of the pregnancy is a sign that nonverbally confirms the promises that Gabriel has made to Mary. But it is true that even the signs and actions need words to interpret them. And God communicates primarily through language, through words. And as we look at Elizabeth and talk about her prophetic ministry, we would acknowledge she's not a prophet in the sense that we normally think of that, like Isaiah would be or Zechariah would be. But it is true that she speaks prophetically. She speaks prophetically in this passage. That is, she declares things that she could know only as they had been revealed to her by the Holy Spirit. And indeed, the end of verse 41 tells us Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Precisely to be able to communicate the things that she does to Mary, things that are recorded for us too here in Scripture, things that are revealed to her by God. When Mary arrived, the baby within Elizabeth jumped. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment, but Elizabeth felt that jump, that leap in response to the presence of Mary and unborn baby Jesus, still just a tiny little womb baby at this point, to her presence. And filled as she is with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth exclaims. She may even have shouted, The very word itself that is used there, she exclaimed, means to speak loudly, to speak with a loud cry. And on top of that, Luke adds, she exclaimed, that is, spoke loudly with a loud cry. She is animated. She is excited about what is going on here. In other words, she didn't just mumble this. She declared it. She proclaimed it loudly. And what does she cry out? Well, she cries out a blessing, but also a question. So first, the blessing, blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She's saying this to Mary, her relative. Now remember, these two weren't friends on Facebook. They didn't follow each other on Instagram. The impression we get is that Mary hasn't yet said anything about her own circumstances, about the angel's visit, about her promised pregnancy. And it's unlikely that Elizabeth knew beforehand, because Mary apparently went to visit Elizabeth right after the angel told Mary what was going on. And yet, it's plain that Elizabeth knows this and declares this, how? By the presence being filled with the Holy Spirit. She declares these things. And when she says, blessed are you among women, Elizabeth is not pronouncing a blessing on Mary. She is acknowledging Mary's blessedness to have the privilege of carrying, of conceiving, of bearing the Messiah in her womb. So she pronounces the blessedness of Mary among women and the blessedness of that baby that even now is conceived by the power of God in her womb. Elizabeth isn't raising Mary above other women in any sense other than acknowledging this immense privilege she has of bearing and giving birth to and, yes, raising Jesus the Messiah. And so we need to understand that. And the scripture refers to other women as blessed as well. Many other times, we think just one kind of random example, in Judges 5:24, where Jael is declared most blessed among women. But certainly Mary is blessed here. But then there's also a question, and it's in verse 45, where she declares the truth explicitly, the nature of the blessing, within the form of a question. Elizabeth asks, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She calls Mary's baby her Lord. Lord is a high title. It's used of God 25 times in Luke chapters 1 and 2. In these first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke, it is applied to God. And here it is applied to this baby that Mary carries. And so by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth not only acknowledges that Mary is pregnant, but that her baby is in fact the Lord, the long-awaited Messiah. And I'm sure Mary was as astonished and maybe startled as Elizabeth is declaring these things and proclaiming these things. And if she was looking in Elizabeth for confirmation, the confirmation Gabriel had mentioned to her about her own baby, she certainly got it as Elizabeth starts declaring these things. But notice, not only is Elizabeth bold in her declaration, but there's a great humility here in Elizabeth, her humility. Elizabeth was a woman of a certain age. Her husband, Zechariah, was a priest, highly respected, served in Jerusalem, an official in Israel. Mary was a teenager, maybe a young teenager. Mary, by rights, would have been honoring Elizabeth. And yet Elizabeth, who is socially the higher of the two, honors Mary. And indeed, she expresses amazement, Elizabeth does, that she should be granted the privilege of having the mother of her Lord come to her, come into her home. So you see Elizabeth's humility in acknowledging not so much Mary herself, but Mary as the one given the privilege of bearing the Messiah and honoring the child she carries. She's been granted an immense privilege in having Mary visit. And I'm sure Mary was amazed by all of this too, by the deference that Elizabeth shows to her. But again, Elizabeth isn't worshiping Mary. Mary, too, is a sinner in need of the salvation her son would one day accomplish for her, for us. We don't pray to Mary. We don't venerate or worship Mary. But we also don't want to fail, along with Elizabeth, to acknowledge the great privilege, the honor the Lord gave in his grace to Mary, to be the one 2,000 years ago to carry and give birth to Jesus. So we acknowledge the honor that the Lord gave Mary, along with Elizabeth. And so Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaims and confirms for Mary the things that Gabriel had said to her just before this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And Elizabeth declares it. We see the prophetic ministry of Elizabeth, but then second, we see the prenatal ministry of Elizabeth's baby, John. See that in 41 and 44. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, to be sure, babies, especially further along in the pregnancy, can become quite active in the womb. The mothers, of course, know this and feel this. But even fathers can feel and even see the baby's kicks and punches and squirms from the outside. But this was different. As soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, her baby leaped. And the word, if you look it up in the standard Greek dictionary for the New Testament, that word is translated as exuberant springing motion, to leap, to spring about as a sign of joy. Of course, words mean how they're used. How's this word used in other places? Malachi 4:2. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. It's also used again in Luke chapter 6, 23. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets, the words of Jesus. You will leap for joy. But we don't have to take the lexicon's word for it. Elizabeth herself says so in verse 44. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. She herself explains the nature of this leap. She interprets it as springing from this emotion of joy that her baby knew he was in the presence of the Lord, and he rejoiced and he jumped for joy at between 6 and 7 months in the womb. Horton was right. A person's a person, no matter how small. But recall that Elizabeth's baby, John, was a special baby too. This would be John the baptizer, John the forerunner to the Messiah. He would go before Jesus. He would call people to repentance. He was preparing the way of the Lord, Jesus the Messiah. And one day he would boldly point to Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But long before he said it, he leaped it. Nonverbal though it was a prophetic sign or action, if you will. It was John's first witness to the presence of the Messiah. A leap for joy. The Messiah had come. How did John, a mere womb baby, know this in any way? Might ask that. Reasonable question. But Luke 1 verse 15 tells us, the angel Gabriel, back earlier in this chapter, when he spoke to Zechariah, he said of John, "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." So like Elizabeth, John leaps for joy by the power of the Spirit in the presence of Jesus. And for baby John, who couldn't yet speak, Elizabeth put the words to it as she told about it to Mary. So we see the prophetic ministry of Elizabeth, the prenatal ministry of John, and then finally, third, we see the passive ministry of Mary in verse 45. Elizabeth is speaking. In fact, Elizabeth is the only one who speaks, who actually uses words in this passage. And she says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now, it's hard to know if Elizabeth is thinking of, at this point, of her dear husband, Zechariah, who at this point was still unable to speak because he didn't believe what Gabriel told him. Couldn't speak until the baby was born. This was all back in verse 20. The angel said, "You'll be unable to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." What was that like? Maybe Elizabeth enjoyed the quiet. Maybe she was amazed by what a good listener Zechariah had become. I don't know. But what she does do, what we do know here, is that she commends and pronounces a blessing on Mary for her faith, for her believing that what the Lord, through Gabriel, said would, in fact, happen, for receiving it as truth. And yet, as you read it, Elizabeth doesn't refer directly to Mary, does she? She doesn't say you. She says, she who believed. Blessed is she who believed. And so maybe the point wasn't so much to commend Mary herself, but to commend her faith, or to commend her as the example of faith in the Word of God. Apparently, there was some skepticism with Zechariah, but there was, while reasonable questions, how can this be since I'm a virgin, there was a readiness to believe, to accept, to receive the Word of God and to submit to it. And in that, she carries a passive ministry to us to show what it looks like to hear the Word of the Lord, to ask reasonable questions, sure, but then to believe, to receive it as truth, and to submit to what the Lord has. Gabriel pointed Mary to Elizabeth as a sign of the truth of the things that he had told her. Mary went to Elizabeth to check it out, and the promises were confirmed beyond anything she could have imagined or hoped for. Elizabeth was well along in pregnancy. Elizabeth said things of Mary that she could have known only by divine revelation. And her baby, Elizabeth's baby, John, the forerunner to the Messiah, leaps for joy in the presence of that Messiah and of the hearing the voice of the one who bore him. You may have noticed three times the word blessed occurs in this passage. Mary was a blessed woman to bear Jesus, to carry the Messiah. But blessedness is also pronounced on Mary for her faith. And not just on Mary, but spoken as it is, really by implication, for all. Blessedness for all who believe the Word of God, the promises of God. And so as we celebrate this Christmas, as we celebrate the fulfillment of these promises made in the birth of Jesus, I ask you, is that blessedness, the blessedness of faith, the blessedness of believing in Christ, in the Word of God, is that blessedness yours? Let's pray. Father, we can't believe unless you grant it to us, unless you open our eyes, unless you open our ears, unless you take away our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, living, spiritually alive, to hear and see and believe and be saved. Father, grant that to every one of us in this room today, all who hear my voice. And Father, we who believe, help us to grow. Thank you, Father, for all the signs. Thank you for all the confirmations, all the evidence that you give to accommodate to our weakness, to show us that your word, in fact, is right, that every word of God proves true. Father, we thank you that all the promises and the words that we read here prove true concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And in him we believe, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.